Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're diving deep today into a really interesting debate about where covenants in the Old Testament came from and what it tells us about the book of Deuteronomy specifically. We've got a lecture transcript from an Old Testament scholar, Robert Vannoy, and he gets into some really fascinating questions about how covenants worked in the ancient world.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're looking at how legal structures from the ancient Near East shape the way the Bible talks about God and his relationship with his people.
Okay, so let's set the stage here. What's the big question we're trying to answer in this deep dive?
Well, for a long time, scholars thought that the structure of Deuteronomy, with its laws, blessings, curses, that this whole structure might have come from ancient Israelite rituals. This was the theory from a big-name scholar named Gerard von Rod.
So von Rod thought Deuteronomy was like more about how the Israelites worshipped and not so much about actual historical events.
Yeah, exactly. But then, and this is where it gets kind of cool, archaeologists found these Hittite treaties from like way earlier. And guess what? They have this really similar structure to the covenants in the Bible. It's almost like finding a missing piece of the puzzle.
Whoa, that's a pretty big deal, right? So what's so interesting about these Hittite treaties? What makes them stand out?
One of the most fascinating things is this thing called the historical prologue. It's a feature in both Hittite treaties and the biblical covenants, and it's where things get really interesting.
Historical prologue, huh? Okay, you've got my attention. What is that and why is it so important?
Okay, so imagine it like this. In these Hittite treaties, the king basically goes on about all the good things he's done for his vassal. It's kind of like saying, hey, look at all I've done for you. Now you need to be loyal to me.
Oh, I see. So it's not just a command, it's like reminding them of their shared history and using that to justify their loyalty.
Exactly. It establishes this idea that the relationship is grounded in real events and the sense of give and take. There is some debate, though, among scholars about whether all Hittite treaties have a historical prologue.
Yeah, Vannoy does mention that in the lecture. It sounds like some scholars aren't totally convinced it's a universal feature.
That's right. But I think the evidence points to the historical prologue being a really consistent and important part of this classic Hittite treaty form. And it really highlights that back and forth nature of a covenant.
But it's interesting to think about what happens if it's not always there. Like, what does that mean for the whole foundation of the covenant? I'm thinking about J. Thompson's work here, where he kind of pushes back against von Rad. If those events in the prologue are just like made up, then what's the real basis for the whole agreement?
Right, that's a great point. Thompson is highlighting that real historical events matter when it comes to establishing covenants, not just in the ancient world, but in the Bible too, right? A shared history is like this anchor that holds the relationship together.
So if we're trying to trace back the origins of the covenant form in Israel's history, where should we be looking?
Well, Vinoy thinks the most likely place is the Sinai event in Exodus chapters 19 through 24. This is where God shows up, gives the Ten Commandments, and makes this covenant with Israel. It's a huge moment, and it really fits the pattern of the Hittite treaty, including that crucial historical prologue.
Okay, so we see this possible link between the Sinai Covenant and Hittite treaties. But societies change, right? Legal systems evolve. What happens to the treaty form over time?
And that's where Meredith Klein comes in. He has this super interesting theory about when Deuteronomy was written.
Okay, lay it on me. What does Klein say?
Well, Klein thinks that the way Deuteronomy structures its covenant is most like that classic Hittite treaty form we've been talking about. And this is a big deal because it goes against the idea that Deuteronomy was written centuries later, like some scholars believe. Klein says it could be a lot older, maybe even from the time of Moses.
Whoa, that's a game changer. What makes Klein think that? Are later treaties that different?
Oh, yeah, they are. So Klein points to these key differences between Hittite treaties and Assyrian treaties, the ones that cat later. Like, Assyrian treaties don't have that historical prologue that's so important in the Hittite ones.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference. Why would they drop that part? I mean, what does it tell us about how Assyrian covenants worked?
Well, it seems like maybe they shifted away from a covenant that's based on this mutual obligation and moved more toward one that's all about the power of the overlord.
So it's less about a two-way agreement with shared history and more about one side dictating the terms.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a couple other big differences too that really highlight this change in the way covenants worked.
Okay, I'm definitely ready to hear more about those differences. Let's dig into those in part two of our deep dive.
Okay, so another big difference is that Assyrian treaties don't have that like that immediate basic obligation of loyalty that you see right after the historical prologue in the Hittite ones. Remember, in the Hittite model, the vassals all, I'm so grateful, I pledge my allegiance because of what the king has done, right?
It's all about give and take.
Right, right. It's like, I want to follow you because you've been good to me. But in Assyrian treaties, that's just gone.
Pretty much, yeah. The oath of loyalty shows up way later, and it's more about fear and consequences. It's about obeying a higher power, not so much about this, you know, agreement where everyone benefits.
So it sounds like they're operating with a very different idea of what a covenant even is. It's not a partnership anymore. It's more like, I don't know, forced obedience.
Exactly. And there's one more key difference. Is Assyrian treaties don't have those promises of blessings if you obey.
Mm-hmm.
That was so central to the Hittite model, right? It was all about the good and the bad that could happen depending on if you followed the treaty.
But in Assyrian treaties, it's more like, do this or else. Yeah, the focus is on the punishment, for sure. It's like they moved away from this balanced view of the relationship and became way more authoritarian.
So bringing it back to Klein's theory about Deuteronomy, he's saying that Deuteronomy is structured more like those early Hittite treaties, the ones with the mutual obligations and blessings.
Exactly. And if Deuteronomy is really reflecting that older, you know, more give and take Hittite form, it changes how we understand the whole relationship between God and Israel. It's a different picture than what we see later on with the Assyrian covenants.
It's almost like these different treaty forms have like different theologies baked into them.
That's a really good point. It makes you think about what kind of God would choose each type of covenant, you know, one that's based on respect and blessings versus one based on fear and punishment.
This is all so fascinating. But before we get too deep into that, I'm curious about these Aramaic treaties from Seafire that Vanoy talks about. They're kind of between the Hittites and the Assyrians, timeline-wise, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're from around the 8th century BC. And they're interesting because they have stuff in common with both Hittite and Assyrian treaties.
So they might be a clue to how ideas about covenant were changing over time. Do they lean more towards Hittite or Assyrian?
Well, they're kind of like Assyrian treaties because they don't have that historical prologue. And they also don't have that clear statement of, like, I'm obligated to you. That comes right after the historical prologue in the Hittite treaties.
So in those ways, they're more Assyrian.
Yeah, but there's some Hittite stuff in there too. Like, they bring in the gods of both sides, the overlord and the vassal, as witnesses. So there's still that sense of shared religious commitment.
So maybe it's like a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. Trying to find some middle ground.
It's possible. But even with those similarities, they don't have the full historical prologue and that emphasis on loyalty that you see in the classic Hittite form. It's more like a transition period, maybe.
So for us, the big question is, which form does Deuteronomy look most like? What does that tell us about when it was written and what it says about God and Israel?
Yeah, that's the heart of it. And based on Klein's work, it seems like Deuteronomy is much closer to the Hittite model. You know, with the mutual obligations, the blessings, the shared history, that's all very Hittite.
Which has some pretty big implications, right? If Deuteronomy is showing us that older, more balanced view of covenant, it challenges a lot of assumptions about when it was written and what it means for God's relationship with his people.
It totally does. And I think that's a perfect place to move into our final part. We can really unpack what all this means.
All right. So we've talked about Hittite treaties, Assyrian treaties, even those Aramaic ones from Seafire. Seems like the idea of covenant really changed in the ancient Near East over time. But what does all this have to do with Deuteronomy? That's the big question, right?
Right. And like we were saying, if Meredith Klein is right about Deuteronomy being structured like those Hittite treaties, then, well, it could change everything about when we think it was written.
So Deuteronomy might be a lot older than people thought. Maybe even like from the time of Moses.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big claim. But if Klein's right about the covenant forms, it's huge. It would change how we think about the whole book. And it tells us something about how the Israelites saw their relationship with God, too.
So maybe Deuteronomy isn't some, you know, late addition. Maybe it's showing us an older way of understanding covenant. One where God isn't just this, like, distant, powerful figure, but someone who wants a real relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One that's built on loyalty and their shared history.
Exactly. Those Hittite treaties, with all that back and forth, the blessings for obeying, it's a totally different picture than those later Assyrian treaties, right?
It really makes you think, you know? Like, these ancient legal structures could actually reflect totally different ideas about God, like you said earlier, which kind of God would choose which kind of covenant.
Yeah, And if we zoom out a bit, it makes you wonder about how we understand covenants today, you know? If Deuteronomy is showing us the kind of relationship God wanted with Israel, love, respect, all that, what does that say about God's covenant with us?
That's a great question to think about. It really makes you reconsider what covenant even means, not just back then, but for us now.
Right. And I think that's what's so cool about these deep dives. It's not just about learning facts. It's about, you know, really wrestling with these ideas and what they mean for us today.
This has been a fascinating look at ancient covenants. Thanks for all your insight.
My pleasure.
And for everyone listening, I hope this deep dive has, you know, sparked some curiosity and given you things to think about. There's so much to explore in these ancient texts. Thanks for joining us.